It's December 20th, 2005, and this is the Orange Belt Community Podcast, Episode 3. The Orange Belt Podcast is a sometimes updated broadcast providing news and commentary to the Orange Belt webcomic community. Hosting for your comic, blog, or web project is now available on the Orange Belt. Salutations, fellow Formites. This is your host, Professor J.K. McJ... Oof, gotta change that script. This is your interim host, Mario Panaghetti. Our esteemed professor has been somewhat overwhelmed with educational obligations or something. I wasn't really paying attention. Anyway, I'll be filling in for him on this, the third episode of the Orange Belt Community Podcast. I hope I can effectively fill his shoes until he stops being so damn lazy... Until he's sufficiently completed his duties and returns to his post. Here's the local news. On December 7th, John Filio swore into the United States Air Force. He will be shipping out to California for basic training by March 23rd, where he will likely engage in wild parties with the other Orange Belt Californians. John has told us that he primarily made this decision to impress fellow Forumite Leash. Leash, if you're out there, let us know just how successful he was. Next, a science update. The official 4Science webpage, found at www.4-science.net, has recently released an official science blog. Officially! Stop by to check out interesting science-related tidbits as they are discovered by science bloggers John, Steph, and Mario, as in me. For the month of December, the bloggers have committed themselves to Christmassy science articles. Blog posts can be commented on by community members within the 4Science forum. And now, an item of great importance on the agenda, playing catch-up. Since so much time has passed since the infamous second episode of the Orange Belt Community Podcast, we missed a few of our community members' birthdays, so here they are in their entirety. Now, we've got a lot of anniversaries to celebrate, so I'm going to go a bit quickly. November! Jay Alderman celebrated a birthday on November 15th, followed by Q-Tip turning 24 on the 18th, NATO on the 19th, and Behemoth turning 24 on the 28th. Though not technically a birthday, November 9th was a day that always holds a special place in my heart. All Caps Day. For the duration of this day, Orange Belt participants solemnly swore to communicate with their caps lock keys lit up, or for the truly adventurous, with their shift keys held down. By most accounts, that is to say, my own, the day was a success, and I look forward to next year's festivities. Don't forget to mark the second Wednesday of November down on your calendars. December picks up steam once again with no less than 8 birthdays. And who do we start with but none other than myself, Mario, who turned 23 years old on December 2nd. Hamelin followed close behind and celebrated his 20th on the 3rd, with La Diable on the 4th. Congratulations to Takeru for his successful transition to adulthood on the 6th. Paul turned 23 on the 9th, ha, still got a week on him. Squiggy turned 17 on the winter solstice, with Langs also turning 17 on the 23rd, and Red hitting the big 2-1 on Christmas Eve. Many happy returns to the days, everyone. And remember, if you want your special day to get a shout-out on future episodes of this podcast, all you have to do is input your birthday information and your forum profile on the Orange Belt, and it will be added auto-magically to the forum calendar, where JK can find it and give aforementioned shout-outage. Hop to it! Okay, I think everyone's caught up now. And now it's time for a few contributions from the common folk. Q-Tip sends us this short review of the book Sense and Sensibility, a hot new novel from up-and-coming author Jane Austen. As this book makes its rounds in the New York Times bestsellers list and Oprah Winfrey's book club, we at the Orange Belt are delighted to present Mr. Tip's take. Hit it!
Sense and Sensibility is a book written by Jane Austen. In its time, it was totally controversial and brought up a lot of issues that we take for granted today. Taking into account that it was written by a woman, this book was the talk of its town for a good generation after it had been published. But enough of the hype. What really makes this book tick is its brevity. It's only 10 pages long, and those 10 pages will change the way you think forever. I don't want to give too much away, but on page 1, there is a dog that may or may not talk. And on page 3, there is an adorable drawing of a house, a family, and a smiling sun high up in the sky. Spoiler alert, the sun is wearing sunglasses. If I may be so bold as to speak critically of this masterpiece, I would say that the book needs less girly romance and kissy face, and maybe add a karate sequence, or possibly just an exploding warehouse scene. Other than that, I'd say it's pretty good, and I'd give it a 5 out of 9 stars. To conclude, I think I've proved 2 things I've set out to prove. The first being that I've without a shadow of a doubt read this book, and the second thing, that it is a great book, and you need to read it, unless you will be left in the dust of proverbial society and civilization.
Thanks, Q-Tip. I look forward to hearing your opinion of things in the future. Forum Funny Man Amoeba Boy has penned an excellent Undead Survival Guide for the podcast. While you might take pause at a guide on how to survive as a member of the Undead, well, don't. Amoeba Boy didn't submit an audio recording of the guide, so here's Stephanie Pulford to give you the lowdown.
One of the most dangerous occurrences of our modern time is the zombie attack. Numerous guides on how to survive such an attack can be found on the internet and in your local bookstore. While it is, of course, desirable to survive a zombie plague of undeath, you will die sooner or later. Be it from zombies devouring your frontal lobe, the Black Death, a cannonball tearing through your intestines, or a ninja star across the jugular, death is inescapable. When you do die, chances are your corpse will be brought back to life as a zombie. Your most immediate concern as a zombie is to hide from the mobs of humans that are probably hunting you down. You should take steps to camouflage with humans by inserting any and all internal organs back into your body. Tucking in your guts and wearing a t-shirt can be the difference between undeath and normal death. It's okay to get rid of a few organs if it's too hard to contain them. In addition to human appearance, you will need to affect human behavior. Consider infiltrating the goth scene. Your pale, dead flesh will camouflage perfectly, and any lethargic movements and moaning only add to the facade. A group of goths is also a fine place to hide from pitchfork-wielding mobs. Should you ever find yourself on the run, ducking into a nearby Hot Topic will usually throw off any pursuers. And you can pick up some sweet Nightmare Before Christmas swag while you're at it. Another survival point to consider is the hunger. The eternal desire for juicy meat bodies of bologna meats and all sorts of other meats that are made from human meat flesh. It never goes away, never leaves, no matter how much you consume. Put this awful curse to good use. Finding a job in pest control will allow you access to all the rodents you want. Taxidermy is another promising career choice for the Walking Dead, as all of the byproducts can go straight to your ravenous maw. It is very important that you do not waste this second chance on life you've been given. Most living people are determined to exterminate the undead wherever they are found, so surviving can be a bit tricky. But with a bit of luck and thorough planning, you can live a happy and long unlife, unmolested by troublesome star agents and police recruits. Though if one such agent does find you, it is strongly suggested that you pray to every god you can think of and then some. Those star guys are practically invincible.
Excellent work, Amoeba Boy and Steph. If Jakey were still with us today, I'm sure he'd want me to remind you to send any questions, comments, or contributions to him via email, jakey@theorangebelt.org, or via the forum. Seeing as how the holidays are coming up, maybe you'd like to send some audio clips of holiday well-wishings for us to play back on the next episode of the podcast, which we hope to have ready in time for Christmas, fingers crossed. If you need help with the recording-making process, instructions to that effect will be up on the forum shortly, so you'll have no excuse for not submitting. This has been Episode 3 of the Orange Belt Community Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Panighetti, reminding you to keep on listening and to stay tuned for the very special holiday special. Tip your baristas!